Welcome to the Share Hope, Bring Love podcast, where we bring you stories that illuminate the power of God's hope and love, even in the darkest of places. I'm your host, Rochelle Starr.
And I'm Rachel Hunter, your co-host. Together, we'll explore incredible life-changing stories and the impact of gospel outreach, Christian community, and discipleship.
In each episode, we explore narratives that not only uplift, but also offer insights into how hope and love can transform lives. We believe that these stories have the power to touch hearts and inspire action.
So whether you're seeking to be inspired or to learn, this podcast will be a reminder of the light that exists in the world. You're in the right place. We're here to share, uplift, and connect one story at a time.
Welcome to the show, Share Hope, Bring Love. Let's go. Rachel, we're back for our next episode, for this week's episode, and I'm really excited to talk about who's in the industry. Something that most people probably think about, but we don't really get to talk about it that much. So I'm excited to go down this road with you and just journey through what are the women like that we serve and talk about that. I think it's a really big part of what we see and how we understand the industry, how we understand serving the people. So this is going to be an exciting conversation.
Yeah, I think after several years of being on staff, this is the question I get the most, like who is in the industry? Or I hear people making all kinds of assumptions and I want to be like, whoa, like you can't assume that, you know?
Yeah, like pump the brakes here.
Yeah. So I think it would be really interesting. I mean, just for you even to share, what are some stereotypes about women working in the industry that you've heard?
I mean, there's a lot that have always throughout the years, people have just assumed that everybody that is in there wants to be in there, right? That it's their choice. They chose it. And we've come to know after many, many years, that is just entirely not the case. I think another stereotype that's pretty common is that, all women in there are like being abused or they're addicts. There's that common theme. And I think also a lot of women think a lot of people think that women in the industry make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I remember back in the day we did this sort of survey amongst the clubs that we were serving and the women. And we would just say, you know, on average, how much do you make a day? And the average that people made a day was $40. And they would work a full-time, you know, hourly, you know, whatever it was like 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. $40 to walk away with wasn't a lot of money. And so that assumption that they make a lot of money and why can't they just get out or why are they addicted or why are they choosing to go into that life is the common stereotypes that people or assumptions that people use.
Yeah, I think that wide spectrum of, just like you said, it's either like everyone is trafficked, they're all, you know, being harmed and held hostage to work here, or the exact opposite, like the Hollywood view of like, it's beautiful, yeah, it's glamorous, their choice. And I think how we interact with people, if that's in the back of our mind, is really going to impact that, right? Like, yeah, I think Christians specifically can have a hard heart towards people if you're like, it's their choice, like they're living in this lifestyle. Yeah, so I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, it's not the Julia Roberts that the Hollywood and the movies portray. These people are real and they have real pasts and pain and they have real stories. And I think once you start to recognize them as humans created in the image of God, who cares what the assumption, who cares what you think, why they're there, why they work there. It doesn't matter. They're created in God's image and they all are worthy of his love and his grace.
And I'm sure that was a journey for you to get to. So think back on like young Rochelle, you know, you're 21, 22.
A long time ago, Rachel.
You're like in your early 20s and you're like, this is what God's calling me to. You know, I'm going to take Jesus to women in strip clubs. Who were you thinking that you were going to meet when you started working in the clubs?
You know, that's really hard now that I've met so many wonderful people in the industry that I call my friends now. But I would say that my assumption when I was 23 years old was probably I was going to meet women who were very broken, beat down, felt unloved all the time, and they were all like that. And that we were going to kind of go save the day, tell them Jesus loves them, tell them there's a new way, and that everybody would respond accordingly. But, you know, that quickly was shattered by the very first time, you know, I even stepped foot in a club. And I remember one of the first women that I met in the club, she had been in the industry for a very long time mm-hmm. and made a very good living in the industry. And I wouldn't say her lifestyle choices were leading to good choices outside of the industry, but she could afford her bills. She could take care of her family. And it kind of broke what I thought, which was everybody was in need of food and shelter and all those things, you know. That is a large part of the population that we serve, need those things, but it's not everyone.
Yeah. I remember it was probably my second or third time going. I walked into the club and I started talking to this woman. She was really cool and we were chatting and I was just asking about her life and things like that. And she starts telling me like her dad's a preacher, you know, she had gone to college and she was traveling around now just like visiting the country. And this was part of that travel story. But I think I was mind blown where I was like, oh my goodness, like she does know Jesus. This isn't, you know, there are people in the industry who know Jesus and maybe they're struggling and need some support, but we can't even stereotype worldview for people working in the industry.
Yeah. I've met a lot of pastors' daughters in the industry, and actually being a pastor's daughter, I have a lot of empathy for women that I meet with that story or with that background. And I think everyone has their own journey. I think everybody makes their own decisions when they choose to maybe enter into relationship with individuals that might be pointing them in that direction or whatever. But what we know now is that, I mean, the vulnerabilities of sexual abuse and identity crisis and gender issues all start a long time before they ever set foot in a strip club. And even though the pastor's daughter may not be the norm, I've met doctors' children who, you know, this girl said, I just wanted to simply rebel against my parents. Mm-hmm. They were all doctors. They were very strict growing up. And this is my way to kind of get back at them or rebel. Mm-hmm. But then again, I've also met more women that are in a generational cycle of sin and brokenness, which their grandmother, their aunt, their moms were all in the industry. So they grew up knowing and believing and seeing that lifestyle and believing that that's what they were created for.
So if you had to say there's a, I don't know if there is, but if you had to say there's a common thread, like who ends up in the sex industry, if you had to summarize that, can you? And how would you summarize that?
I don't know if you could put them all in one category except for vulnerability. I think there are certain socioeconomical vulnerabilities growing up potentially. I mean, this isn't 100% of people in the industry, but a lot of vulnerabilities experienced as children lead to this path. And I think that would probably be the most common. As you and I know and have studied, 85 to 90% of women in the industry have experienced sexual abuse as children. And that abuse and brokenness puts them on a path. Not all people end up in the industry that have the abuse, but most of them in the industry have had that experience as a child. So it's vulnerability in socioeconomical level, growing up in poverty, growing up in the streets. You know, as part of this ministry, we get to work with moms who have kids. Mm-hmm. And I can see, you know, now that I've been almost doing this for 17 years, I can see generational families and how they end up in this. I can see it firsthand. Again, none of this is 100% of women are in this industry because of this, or this is who and why they're there. Everybody has their own story and their own journey, but I have seen the vulnerabilities of abuse, of economical status being major factors.
Yeah. So when you're speaking to people, whether it's volunteers or people in the community who have these maybe more rigid views of who might be in the industry, how are you able to dialogue? Like, how do you start to break down these misconceptions that people have?
Well, I think a good question to ask people is, why do you think that? Well, I'm curious why you think that. Where did that thought or belief come from? Most of the time when I ask that question, it's not rooted in reality. It's not rooted in something that they know. It's something or something they've seen or something they've heard. It's most of the time it's not firsthand experience. Plus, I think a major cause of people pointing the finger at the people in this industry saying, you know, they choose to be there, or look at them, or ooh, them. All of those things I've heard a lot is because at the essence of what they're saying they believe is that the human that God created and the sin they're committing are, it's just the most detestable thing on the planet. And that's the opposite of what Jesus came. He's like, no, no, no. I came to save sinners and I'm going to free them of their sin. And so I think a lot of what happens is people's assumptions about the sin that they see outwardly starts to impact who they assume is in the industry as a human created in the image of God. Because there is sin all around us, right? The same sin that is in a strip club is the same sin that is in our church pews and that you and I commit. It's sin. It all put Jesus on the cross. And so whenever you don't have a right understanding about that, you can easily say, like, ooh, them, or they choose to do this, or they're evil, or whatever.
I think for me, once again, over the years, I started to see this core desires that we all have. And even in myself, right? Like, God created us with these good God-given desires, connection, intimacy, to be loved and known, and all of these things. And I think that the industry meets a lot of those needs. And that's, you know, awesome that your need is getting met, but in a broken way.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy for Christians to judge the broken way in which that need is being met, when in reality we have our own broken ways of meeting those needs. Yeah. And when I realize, like, oh, I'm seeking affection in this way, or I'm seeking to have my need for connection met in this way, when it's any time outside of God's plan, God's will, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for me, because then it was, like, really easy to connect, because I could see women I'm talking to and what they're searching for, how I'm searching for the same thing.
Yeah.
And really able to connect there.
Yeah. Do you have any examples of that you can tell us about, like, in any woman that you've served?
Yeah.
How she was searching for connection and you could see some of that in your own life?
Yeah. I mean, I think over and over, there's certain women who I just feel like they're so fun and so easy, like, that I've connected with. I'm like, man, you're my pal. And so there was one woman that I met, and she and I enjoyed similar music and pastimes, and just really easily connected. So we started talking a little more deeply. And as we were talking, she was talking about her childhood and her experiences growing up, and really an independent woman. I'm pretty independent, right? So we're talking about these things, but she wanted to feel empowered and wanted to make a difference and let other women know they had a voice. And similar to me, right? Like, I love helping women feel like you don't need someone else to complete you, right? Like, you need Jesus, but, like, you don't need a certain type, stereotype to fill a need. And so she thinks she's sending the same message as me, wanting to fulfill that thing and wanting to, she's finding purpose in her own life and helping women find their purpose. But the way that she's telling them to do it is through the sex industry and through dancing. And so she would say she's empowering them, helping them the same way that I am.
Yeah. A lot of the women that we meet do find connection and community and actually find a replacement family in the industry. I mean, it's so interesting how God created us to have connection, and we were literally wired to be with other people. And when there is commonality in what you do, I wouldn't say it's commonly an accepted industry, right? Mm-hmm. So when they start working in it, it's easy to immediately bond with the people that are also working in it. But that's how cool God is that he sends us church ladies into the clubs to help show them that they're actually invited into the family of God. And all that, the family dynamics and the family of origin stuff that's broken, where they think they're finding family and connection in the industry, you know, we can offer Christ and his family. And we've seen women come into that family and be freed up so much, you know?
So, I mean, we've kind of hit on then why people maybe enter the industry, who's in it. And family, connection, community is one reason that maybe they stay in. But what are other things that you've seen hold women in bondage to leaving the industry once they're in it?
I think a lot of, well, I mean, these would be my top few things. One is money is a major factor. Yeah, I told the story about the $40 a day. That was 15 plus years ago. That is no longer the case. And I think there are definitely avenues of the industry that make less money and all of that. But the majority of them, money is a major factor why they stay in. You know, if the average hourly rate in America is $12 an hour or whatever it is now, you may know that. You know, they're certainly making more than $12 an hour. So I would say money and the lifestyle that's been built up. I just actually talked to a girl last week who she desperately wants out of the industry, and she isn't making a connection necessarily between surrendering her things. Like she knows of Christ. She actually has been baptized, but she has these bills that are more than you and I pay out a month in our bills because she's built a lifestyle around this industry. But now she wants out, and now she's kind of held captive by her leases and her bills and her all these things. And you're right. I tell her, you're right. A regular job isn't going to cover these things. So what can you get rid of so that you can start to make that transition for yourself? Instead, she's sort of right now in a space where she's looking for a job that will pay what she wants it to pay. So money is definitely a huge factor. I would say another thing is like shame and guilt. I think that's one of the biggest things is once they've started in that on that pathway, they may ignore the shame and the guilt, but it definitely is there. And I hear that a lot where women, again, another woman last week that I had breakfast with, she said, I'm working through my shame. Like every day I have to remind myself I'm not defined by what I used to do, but I'm defined by what God says I am. And every day I have to choose that. And that's her working through her shame and her guilt. And so I get to remind her God showed up for that. Like that's what he covers and what he took on the cross. I would say when women get into this industry young, they didn't go to college maybe, or they had plans to go to college and they started, but then the industry gave them more money. And so that, you know, they sort of lose their path or their way. And a lot of women just say, I just don't know what I would do. And so, and I would say this industry also lends itself to a lot of entrepreneurs, maybe some women that didn't know they were entrepreneurs, but they don't want to work for anybody but themselves. And this industry allows them to do that really well. And so I think that there's this, like, what was I created for? What am I supposed to be doing? And it honestly, I've seen many women get stuck in that cycle. One day I'll go to college. One day I'll be a nurse. One day I'll be a doctor. And, you know, 10 years later, they're still in the industry.
Yeah. I think what's crazy about all three of those things you just listed is like the gospel is the antidote to those things, right? Where it's like the job and the lifestyle thing. Following Jesus, there's a cost. Like Jesus tells us to count the cost. And so for some of us, that cost may seem really small, but for women in the industry who've built this lifestyle, it's not just changing jobs, it's giving up an entire lifestyle. And that's a huge cost, but only the gospel is worth that, you know? Or what is that? Who's going to cover my shame and my guilt?
Right.
Only Jesus can, only in the gospel. And then even like a path in life, right? We find a really good path. I mean, the Psalms talk about that all the time. The path that Jesus gives us is like steadfast love and faithfulness. Mm-hmm. It's good. He's given us gifts and talents. And so what an opportunity we have, right? That no matter the barrier, and that's oversimplifying it, right? Like there's the practical side of it, but that we get to go in and share that with women.
Yeah.
Like in Jesus, there's hope. And then we can help you walk through all these barriers. But at the core, Jesus changes everything.
And he provides for their needs. He knows their needs better than we do and better than anything we can provide. I think it's really about teaching them how to surrender to Christ in their own life. And what does that look like? And that takes time and it's a process.
I think this discussion could go on a lot longer. Next time I want us to talk more about what does it look like to walk with a woman. Then like once we've seen, it could be anyone, you know, or any of our friends could have been in the industry or impacted by the industry. Here's what might be holding them back. How then as a Christian do we walk with women? So next time maybe we should pick up there.
Yeah, let's do it. As we come to the end of today's episode, we hope you've been deeply inspired by the stories we shared. Our mission is to spread the hope and love of Jesus with women in the adult entertainment industry.
If you feel inspired to join the movement and make a difference, we invite you to visit our website at scarlethope.org. Follow us on social media at The Scarlet Hope for updates, or consider joining a local team in your own community.
Together, we can make a world of difference, sharing hope and bringing love to those who need it most. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you on our next episode.